13-19-438-ZV, Memorial Medical Center, Port Lavaca versus Cynthia Hagbarth. Is that correct, Mr. Glick? Hagbarth? All right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mr.
Your Honor, as the court is aware, this is a medical malpractice case in which the plaintiff appellee, Ms. Hagbarth, says that she was injured during physical therapy. And the allegation is that the physical therapist was doing therapy on her knee, which she had earlier had a knee surgery, so she was having therapy done on it. And that the physical therapist bent her or flexed her knee too far, causing an injury. And the name of the physical therapist is Regina Johnson. Because Ms. Johnson is an employee of a governmental hospital, Memorial Medical Center, which is a county hospital in Port Lavaca, the hospital has asserted governmental immunity in this case. So the issue before this court on, and I've appealed the denial of the plea to the jurisdiction, so the issue before this court is whether there was a use of tangible property that caused the injury under the Texas Tort Claims Act, which was sufficient to waive the hospital's governmental immunity in this case. The property at issue, my belief, and opposing counsel might bring up other property, but I think the property at issue that we're dealing with is a piece of equipment that's used in physical therapy called a goniometer.
How do you pronounce that, Mr. Carter?
I pronounce it goniometer.
Goniometer.
It's
okay.
Possible that I'm mispronouncing it, but my clients, I believe, pronounced it that way. And I think it's mere coincidence that it was being used to measure the knee in this case. It can be used to measure the elbow, the shoulder, et cetera. But in this case, the goniometer was being used to measure the flex of the knee. What I believe thoroughly is that the record on appeal, though, shows that although the goniometer was involved in the care and the physical therapy, that the use of it did not cause the injury in this case. And as the court is aware, and the Supreme Court has said, and I've cited the Texas Department of Criminal Justice versus Miller case in my brief as the primary case, but there's other cases that say this, that it's not enough that property is merely involved in the care, that the property has to actually cause harm. So the use of the property has to actually cause the harm in the case.
It's my understanding that the plaintiff has pled, and as well as their expert report, that during the measuring process, during the use of this, I'm not gonna even try to pronounce it, this meter reading equipment, that that's when her knee was either overextended, which caused the injury, and it's laid out in the expert report. So isn't that sufficient in order to overcome the jurisdictional as to the use of an equipment under TTCA?
No, ma'am. No, Your Honor. The court can review these cases based purely on the pleadings, but the government, as the Supreme Court has said in Texas Parks and Wildlife versus Miranda and other cases, the government is allowed to come forward with evidence that disputes what's in the pleadings. So if the government presents evidence showing that there was not a use of property, then it shifts back to the plaintiff, the appellee in this case, to actually present evidence showing that there was in fact a use of property, because you know this is a jurisdictional issue, and so the plaintiff has to present some evidence showing that there was that the court in fact has jurisdiction by showing that there was a use of property. So in this case, although there's been conclusory pleadings and a conclusory statement in the expert report that For example, the expert stated, it appears that an adverse event occurred during the measurement of her knee motion. What the actual evidence is, though, is that the physical therapist, we've put her affidavit into evidence. It's the amended affidavit of Regina Johnson. It shows, number one, that any movement of the knee was done solely by hand. It shows that the medical device, the goniometer, was not used to move the knee or apply any pressure to the knee. And she also testified that she did not use the goniometer to determine how much pressure to apply to the knee or how far to bend the knee.
Well, isn't that also conclusory statements? And isn't exactly that in line with the Texas Supreme Court held in the Salcedo case, that if that therapist misused an equipment, as they did in the Salcedo case, which is an EKG, that does give rise to a waiver of sovereign immunity under the TTCA? I mean, isn't that what the whole claim is about in these circumstances?
Well, I don't believe so. What the therapist testified is that she used hands to bend the knee, and she simply used her medical judgment to determine how far to bend the knee, and that the only use of the goniometer is once the knee has been flexed the maximum amount, it's simply used to determine what kind of progress they've made in the therapy at that on that day. So the injury as asserted by Ms. Hackbarth would have occurred regardless of whether there was a goniometer being used or not. If she's saying that so the therapist has testified, and this testimony is uncontroverted, even though Ms. Hackbarth was there also and has submitted an affidavit, but the therapist says she didn't use the goniometer to bend the knee, and she didn't use the goniometer to determine how far to bend the knee. That's not the purpose of the goniometer. The purpose of the goniometer is to determine what kind of progress was made in the therapy.
But counsel, wasn't it used simultaneously? When the knee was bent, I imagine that at that moment, while the knee was already in a certain position, this instrument was used. So couldn't it be argued that it was all one particular occurrence, that it's not like, she used the instrument when the knee was at an angle which the plaintiff testified subsequently caused her the damage. Essentially, the meter that was being used was used to determine how far to extend the knee. And so wasn't that sort of part and parcel with the therapy that was occurring? I guess I don't understand the procedure. Was it after the therapy was done that they used this instrument, or was it all one continuous act?
Well, I think it was one continuous act, but importantly, the therapist has testified that she did not use the meter to determine how far to bend the knee.
So she physically bent the knee and then measured it afterwards while the knee was already bent. So you're saying, like, if let's say it had been another type of instrument which artificially bent the knee, then at that point, your argument is there was some instrumentality and therefore, you know, would not allow the exemption in this case. So you're saying, like, if let's say there was a physical force that the instrument was actually doing to bend the knee, then at that point it would be different.
I'm saying that plus one other thing. I'm saying that there's no evidence that the goniometer ever even touched her leg or that it ever even touched Ms. Hackbarth. So this is not a case where the goniometer coming into contact with Ms. Hackbarth caused the injury. There's no evidence of that whatsoever.
Mr. Carter, you're saying that the plaintiff doesn't say that in the record? Because I, I, um, I could have thought that she did say that in the record, or does she not?
I don't believe she does, and Mr. Glick might say differently, but in her affidavit, which is part of the record, she says that physical therapist used an instrument that was similar to a protractor, meaning the meter, mm-hmm. to meet an angle of manipulation, and that they manipulated her knee. She felt a popping and a pain, and at that time, they reported the angle utilizing the device. So let me
see if, as Justice Hinojosa indicated, it's all one continuous process. She manipulates the knee, puts the meter to read the angle of it, and in doing so, further manipulates the knee in order to get the correct reading. That in itself would be a tangible use and defeat, and then comply with TTCA of use of the of an equipment, the meter, would it not?
Well, it might be, but that's not the evidence in this case.
Okay.
The evidence is not that the meter was then applied and she further manipulated the knee. In fact, their own expert says in his report, and of course, he's just talking in general about how a goniometer is used. He doesn't give any facts as to how the goniometer was used in this case. But he states in general that the patient will bend the knee as far as possible and overpressure is applied to take up the slack until firm end feel is obtained and measurement is taken. So what he's saying is that the patient and the therapist bend the knee as far as the therapist thinks is therapeutically appropriate, and then they simply use the meter to determine how much progress have we made. In that instance, you know, the meter is not used to physically make an injury, and it's not, and there's no evidence in this case that the meter was somehow misread or misused, and that the knee was overbent because the meter was somehow misread or misused, you know, along the lines of the limited cases that are now following Salcedo. And in fact, this case, this court in Kristen Spahn versus Young case said that if equipment is properly used, there's no waiver of immunity.
I wrote Young, and in that issue, in that case, so I'm familiar with it, is they never pled that the stethoscope, so there was a pleading and truly an evidentiary problem in that case, which is why I started questioning you with how the pleadings are before this court, the affidavit and the expert report, because it comes down to this whole under Miranda case, what evidence is before the trial court and of course us, because it's a de novo review as to whether a tangible property is used or not in a medical case such as this.
Right. Well, I guess what the evidence we've put forward is that the device, the meter, wasn't used to bend the knee, and it wasn't okay. used to determine how far to bend the knee or when to stop bending the knee. It was only utilized to determine how far has the knee been bent. And that's the evidence that's before this court, and it's uncontroverted by either Ms. Hackbarth or by the expert. There's just no evidence to the contrary.
So, Mr. Carter, you're saying it's not just use of the tangible property that causes the injury. There has to be an actual misuse of the actual instrument. Is that sort of what you're saying? And not just the use. If there is some injury that's caused, but the instrument is not the instrumentality that caused it. Right. In other words, that it was not used properly or misused.
Correct.
Then that is what is required. Not just that in the transaction or in the whole process, there was an instrument involved.
Correct. It can't be merely involved. And there are a number of cases that say the property has to be the instrumentality of harm.
Okay.
And it does have to be the actual cause. And in this case, even if the goniometer hadn't been used, the injury, as alleged by Ms. Hackbarth, would have still occurred.
Is there anything in the record that show us what a goniometer looks like?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
What it looks like? I think in Ms. Hagmar's affidavit, she states it looks...
It might go a long way towards whether or not it could cause an injury or not. I'm just wondering if there's anything in the record by way of affidavit, attachment, or anything.
There's not a... I'm sorry, I was cutting in and out, but there's no picture in there. Ms. Hagmarth does state, and I think this is accurate, that it's somewhat like a protractor that we used in math or the ones
mm-hmm. to make a circle, kind of.
Correct, that it's like a, it measures angles, but that's the only description is that she says it's like a protractor. I probably should have put a picture in the record. I just didn't think to do that, but it's, she says like a protractor, so it measures angles of arms, legs, etc.
Okay, time is up of Mr. Carter, unless Justice Tejadina or Justice Hinojosa, you have any further questions. All right, then Mr. Glick, we will allow your time to start, your 20 minutes, and Mr. Carter, you will have a 5-minute rebuttal after Mr. Glick.
Okay, real quickly, I respect the questions that you all asked because that was part of my argument. I think just with the discrepancies in the answers, there's a fact issue created. And that's all that we asked for, is that there was a material fact issue created. I go back to the proof that we're required to do, and we're really not required to prove anything. The government or the hospital is the one that has to prove. And then all we have to do is show the existence of a material fact. And if that's the case, and I believe this is why the trial court ruled as it did. If that's the case, as they say in the Miranda case, the trial court cannot grant the plea. The fact issue is for the jury. My belief is, number one, they haven't really presented any credible evidence other than two affidavits that to me, and I brought this up in the trial court, were self-serving by a formerly named defendant. The first affidavit was obvious that she was distancing herself from the treatment. She didn't mention any. In fact, what she said was, quote, I occasionally perform physical therapy on Cindy Hackbard. There was use of her affidavit to try to prove use or non-use. She then said, I am the sole person at Memorial Medical Center who provided physical therapy to Ms. Hackbarth on her visits, and then went into what a goniometer does or does not do. I would tell this, she was never designated as an expert, and our expert report, and that's why we use it, specifically says, and this is what creates a fact issue, in measuring the knee motion for flexion, the following should have occurred. The patient be positioned in the supine position. She was not. One arm of the goniometer should be aligned with the thigh to the greater trochanter. The other arm should be aligned with the fibula. The axis should be centered over the knee just below the lateral condyle. The patient will bend the knee as far as possible and gentle overpressure is applied. He then goes on to say, it appears that the patient was measured and it was the measurement that caused the problem. So there is a fact issue right there. You combine that with the Saucedo holding, all of the cases that follow the Saucedo holding, and there is a fact issue. And that is why I believe the trial court did not grant their plea.
Well, but counsel, so, if the meter was not used until after there was the complete bending of the knee, then how can it be the instrument? How can it be viewed as the instrumentality of harm if it was only used afterward? Unless if it was used in the process, that there might be something else. But if it was If essentially the therapist moved the knee and then measured it, then how can that be the instrumentality? If she was using it, or if the purpose of this instrument and the way it's normally used, it's used throughout the whole process, then that might be something different. So I guess I need some clarity on how this instrument is used.
And that's exactly what the expert is saying, is that as and there was something that went wrong in the measurement that caused her injury. And I'm probably remiss in not, she's not here obviously, but introducing you to her, because this is her only opportunity. She is permanently disabled and uses a walker for the rest of her life because of this. I don't know this, but basically, I agree with the appellant's brief and the standard, and that is that it's a summary judgment standard, that the pleadings are to be construed liberally in favor of us, that the court is to take as true all evidence favorable to us, indulging every reasonable inference and resolving any doubts in favor of the non-mover. And in this case, if there's any doubt at all as to this, it's to be resolved in the plaintiff's favor. I'm reading from cases that he cited in his brief, and it says the plaintiff need not prove the actions of the hospital constitute use of a tangible personal property. The burden is on the hospital. And for use, one must only put or bring the property to use or action. And that's exactly what was done in this case.
Mr. Glick, so the cases are very clear that, and as we've discussed here this afternoon, it's not only the use of the property, but that property is the instrument caused the injury in question. And I guess that points us really more to your expert's report, as Justice Hinojosa was having a discussion earlier, is does it give us cause in fact, because this is a de novo review, do we have how you may overcome that whether the instrument did or was not used properly, but even so, did that cause ultimately her injury, which is that second portion that we have to overcome in this plea? And in reading your expert's report, do we get there in ascertaining and gathering the second prong of the tangible use property?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it definitely does or definitely doesn't. I do think it creates a fact issue for a jury to determine if that's the case. And he is saying that it's part of the measurement process is a process that uses the goniometer. There was a failure in that measurement process, which caused the problem, which caused the injury. And I think in reading these cases and the burdens, that creates enough of a fact issue for a jury to determine if there was use of tangible personal property. And it mirrors the other cases, the one that you actually wrote, but also Salcedo, and a court, which court was it? It was a court in Houston, the Hardy case, 2 Southwest 3rd 607, which actually said the rejection of the arguments in Salcedo are no longer viable. We reject that argument and cite to Salcedo. We follow Salcedo. And they're very, very similar cases.
Hey, Mr. Glick, I do want to... In the opening of your brief, you mentioned the goniometer, other physical therapy instruments, non-slip, a table with non-slip pad, roller pads. Are we limiting this review to the use of a goniometer? Because that's where I think we're going, but you mentioned those in the fact, and I want to make sure that we are narrowing that so we don't have to consider other pieces of property within the scope of this appeal.
Yes, sir. I think for the most part, but I do think that the expert report does say that there were certain positions of use on that table and that they didn't do that right either. Now, whether that was a function of the physical therapist themselves or a function of the table, I'm not here to argue that, but I think the use of the goniometer is part of the measurement process the doctor was referring to when he said the measurement, something went wrong in the measurement and it caused a rupture, which caused emergency surgery, and now she's permanently disabled. So, yes, sir.
Counsel, to clarify another point, couldn't MMC brought a no evidence challenge jurisdiction pursuant to the Supreme Court's recent case, Town of Shady Shores versus Lawson? I think there was some confusion about that in your brief, and I just want to clarify that you're not contending that they couldn't bring a no evidence summary judgment, are you?
I'm not. I didn't address that. No, one way or another. No, but Saucedo is still good law. It hasn't been overturned, and it's been followed a number of times. So no, I'm not. I'm not saying they couldn't bring that.
Okay.
My main arguments here go less towards the use and more towards the creation of a fact issue regarding that use. I don't think they've really presented evidence other than an affidavit that was then revised by Regina Johnson, who had been originally a defendant in the suit. And the first affidavit distanced herself from the treatment. The second affidavit was geared towards proving the goniometer wasn't a use of tangible personal property, and she was very, very specific there.
Mr. Carter,
she's not been qualified. She's got two.
Mr. Glick, I think what Mr. Carter was arguing was that those affidavits were not contested by you, and as such, we have to take them as true. Are you saying they are contested affidavits?
Well, I brought that up in the trial court too and said she was not designated as an expert and they conflict. So
do you think the two affidavits in combination create a fact issue as to the plea of the jurisdiction?
I think when you combine those two affidavits with the expert report that we have, with the burden of the government's proof and everything that's supposed to be geared towards the plaintiff, that is, it's found in favor of the pub. Yes, I think a fact issue was absolutely created.
Okay. All right, Mr. Glick, do you have anything else?
I'm going to look, but no, I mean, I wrote down and, of course, cited all of these cases, but they're very, very similar. They're EKGs, they're CT scans that were misread or misused, much like this. They were misused diagnostic equipment, very much like in this case. And, I will finish. I did not think I would need the 20 minutes, but I will finish with the burden is on the government. Our expert has said the goniometer is part of a measurement device to be used like this. It was the fault of the measuring procedures that caused her injury. I think that's a fact issue for the jury.
Understand. Any further questions from Justice Hinojosa or Justice DeCanina? All right. We always are grateful to have time back, Mr. Glick. We don't take it in one way or another. It doesn't mean one way or another, just so you know. I know that lawyers get nervous when they leave time on the clock. Do not feel nervous about that. We're going to give Mr. Carter his 5 minutes of rebuttal. And thank you so much for participating in our Zoom hearings this afternoon.
Thanks for hearing us. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. First, in terms of the fact that she submitted a revised affidavit, nothing about that means that her affidavit is to be disregarded or discounted at all. I mean, the court allowed us to submit additional briefing and additional evidence, and that's what we did. Just briefly, the reason there was some question in her affidavit is because the medical record shows that this event occurred on July the 13th. The plaintiff in their pleadings argued, said that it occurred on July 11th, so that was contrary to the medical records. So we were trying to draft the affidavit to encompass that. So that's why there are some dates changed in the revised affidavit. But otherwise, the affidavit clearly shows that the goniometer was not used to bend the knee, and the goniometer was not used to determine how far to bend the knee. There's absolutely nothing that contradicts that. Their expert report does not state that the goniometer was misused. There's nothing in the report that states that. It states in a very conclusory manner that it appears that an adverse event occurred during the measurement of her knee motion, but it doesn't state that it was misused. It doesn't state that the goniometer was used to bend the knee or to determine when to stop bending the knee. Nothing in the expert report states that. So it just does not contradict Ms. Johnson's affidavit that is perfectly good evidence before this court. In fact, again, the expert stated that active and passive motions are applied in flexing.
So I'm just going to ask you this, Mr. Carter. In the appellee's brief, they have in citation pointing to the record of their expert, Dr. Nichols, opined, this is page 11 of appellee's brief, in review of the medical records regarding Mrs. Cynthia Hackworth, it appears that an adverse event occurred during the measurement of her knee motion. Is it that sufficient in order to put the issue in front of a jury?
And, I don't think so.
It's not even about putting the issue in front of the jury, because this is a plea to jurisdiction, but this is evidentiary sufficient to overcome the burden on a plea to the jurisdiction.
I don't think so. I think that's a purely conclusory statement by our expert. He doesn't support it with any facts. Because the issue we're deciding is not whether an adverse event occurred. We're trying to determine whether the property caused the injury. So that statement alone, which is conclusory, doesn't state that the property caused the injury. It doesn't even state what role the property played in the injury occurring. So, and in fact, again, if you go down further under this number 5 in his report, he explains in general how the goniometer is used. And he says that you active and passive motion is used to flex the knee until firm feel is obtained and measurement taken. So he doesn't say that you use the goniometer to determine how far to bend the knee. He never says that. And our affidavit says the contrary, that it's not used to do that.
So that instrument is basically just to measure an angle. It does not say this is too much or this is too little. It doesn't have that capacity. All it says, it's just an instrument to measure angles generally.
Exactly. It's used to measure how much progress has been made in the therapy, but it is not used to determine how far to bend the knee.
But the expert says that there are certain ways you have to use that instrument, and that in this failure, it wasn't used in that manner. I mean, that's my understanding of reading the expert's report.
But I don't read it as saying that the goniometer was improperly used. He explains how it's used, but I don't read it as saying that it was improperly used in this case. I read through it several times. What he says is a couple of factors could have led to the injury, that she was sitting up instead of laying down, and too much force during the overpressure. But he doesn't tie that into the use of the goniometer. The final point I wanted to make is that I read back over very carefully Department of Parks and Wildlife versus Miranda. I think that case says that this is not a fact issue. I read it back carefully, because it's only when the jurisdictional issue is tied in with the merits of the case that this is a fact issue. If it's not, I think it's a legal issue. So I think that this is more than just raising a fact issue. As I read back through that Miranda case, I think it's a legal issue before the court, because the jurisdiction is not tied to the merits of the case.
I agree, Mr. Carter. All right, any further question from Justice Inhofe or Justice DeGhanina? If not, we stand in recess on this case. And thank you, Mr. Carter.